We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
Christian Fowler is the lead writer for GoTigers247.com. He's been down in Atlanta in advance of tonight's McDonald's All-American game, watching the best prospects in the country play in practice. He's been down there talking to the best prospects in the country, among them James Wiseman, Matthew Hurt, Trendon Wofford, Precious Achiuwa, all of whom have ties to the University of Memphis or being recruited by the University of Memphis. We'll catch up with Christian Fowler about 5:30. He'll be here to talk Memphis basketball recruiting. But right now, Jeff Calkins is your award-winning columnist, Daily Memphis, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. Jeff Calkins here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good, GP.
So, the Alliance of American Football, the majority owner, Tom Dundon, earlier today, publicly stated that they might have to discontinue the league unless they get cooperation from the NFL's Player Association. In other words, he needs, he says, the NFLPA to provide them with young players on NFL rosters. Otherwise, he doesn't believe he has a viable league. This seems insane to me. If you really don't think you can have a league without cooperation from the NFL's Player Association, why wouldn't you make sure you got cooperation from the NFLPA before you launch your league?
It's the dumbest thing in the world. I just want to say that I may have to abandon my dating operations unless Jennifer Aniston agrees to date. It's probably a dated reference,
yes,
but, you know, I'm older.
Sure.
Agrees to date me tomorrow. Well, I mean, it's preposterous. He's trying to put the blame on whatever lack of success the league is having on the NFL. If the plan was for the NFL to be involved, you could have negotiated that on the front end. Absolutely. You negotiate it on the front end. You don't just say, oh, hell, this isn't working. We're going to need NFL players. Yo, NFL, could you come save us from ourselves? Because, let's be honest, we don't have anyone recognizes the one guy we do. Mike Singletary ain't going to play him.
Right.
So, like, it's the dumbest thing in the world. It's negotiating from a point of complete helplessness, and it's trying to pull a power play from a point of complete hopelessness and weakness. Like, it's the dumbest thing in the world. Absolutely. If that was key to the league, you get the NFL, and you knew, like, you had Bill Polian involved or whatever. If the NFL was planning to be involved, they could have been involved from the front end. And I'll be honest, I think the NFL is happy and should be happy that a league like this league exists, right? Because there'll be some good players developed, and there will be. That will just happen. There will be some good players developed, but if I had a practice squad tackle or something, would I want him to be down here playing for Memphis rather than in my off-season conditioning program and whatever up in Buffalo? No. I'd like him right under our roof where we're monitoring everything and putting him through workouts and this and that. I wouldn't want him getting injured in Memphis Liberty Bowl playing for, you know, against Steve Spurrier. So I actually don't see the incentive for the NFL to be involved. Maybe if they want to be, they can be, but I think they probably like their off-season program. And the truth of the matter is that they're already having, you know, they carefully negotiate with the Players Association when players can and can't work out and whatever else. You can't, as a commissioner, just sort of blame the league for problems that you have created. It's preposterous.
Remember when there was reports after week one that they might not be able to meet payroll? And we didn't have all the details at the time, but in real time, while discussing this, I said, you know what? They say that that story's inaccurate, and I'm just going to believe that they're telling the truth because they couldn't possibly be dumb enough to launch this thing and then have payroll problems after 1 week. Like, nobody's that dumb. And it turns out they really were that dumb. Like, and this is just another example of that. I mean, and I know Tom Dundon hasn't been involved from the jump, But if you're going to rely on cooperation from the NFL Players Association to survive, you've got to know you have cooperation before you even go down this path. Otherwise, what are you doing? It really is. And I don't know these people, so I'm hesitant to call them dumb. And plus, like, they're billionaires, so, like, you know, who's dumb?
Who's the dummy?
Yeah. The billionaires are the guy working seven jobs to get by, right? So I hesitate to use words like that, but it really is nonsensical. Like, I would think you sit down and you go, hey, listen, this is a nice idea we got, but unless we can get cooperation from the NFL Players Association to get some young players on their rosters to play and participate in our league, this is not going to be a viable operation. And I'd say, okay, I hear you. Well, then let's work on that. Let's see if we can get that done. And if we can't get it done, then what are we doing?
Yeah, why are we doing this?
And yet they get, you know, several weeks into a season, they're like, yeah, probably not going to be able to make it without the cooperation of the NFL's Players Association.
Do you think they were trying to get ahead of the XFL by launching this year?
I don't know what they were trying to do, but
they very clearly were trying to get ahead of the XFL by launching that year, but that's still no excuse for not having a viable plan.
No, I get
plan.
You.
I mean, if you don't have a viable plan, it's true. I mean, back when the payroll thing happened, you made the comparison. It would be like buying a house and not having having the money to pay the first mortgage, and then the second mortgage comes around and go, oh, damn, I got to pay the second mortgage? This is not going to work. Like, and in the payroll situation, that's what it was an analogous to. And this is like another. It's completely something you absolutely should have anticipated. Now, it's craziness. And again, I don't think there's any incentive. I mean, the NFL doesn't typically just bow to people's wishes. Right? It's a pretty tough organization. And I don't think they're going to be impressed by Tom Dundon threatening to put the failure of this league that no one particularly cares about on their... to make it their responsibility. It's not their responsibility. And if I were an NFL team, I don't really think I'd want my players playing for this league. Maybe like a third string quarterback. Like, I could see that maybe, so he gets some reps and whatnot. But if you look at what's happening to the quarterbacks, they're all getting killed.
Right.
That's the other thing that's happening. They're getting murdered. And so the whole thing makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, that's the other thing, is that in football, I think more than any other sport, miles put on your body is a bad thing. I mean, we just watched Le'Veon Bell sit out an entire season for all sorts of reasons, but at least in part because he thought he would be worth more money to somebody with less miles on his body. So why go put miles on my body for a Pittsburgh franchise that hasn't treated me fairly? This is at least in his mind. I'll just sit it out, forfeit this money, but I'll get more money on the back end to make up for it. I don't think it actually worked the way he wanted it to work, but he was motivated in part by, I'm not going to put these miles on my body for that. If why would NFL franchises want young players putting miles on their body in the Alliance of American Football, is my point.
They wouldn't, here's the truth, they wouldn't want their players putting anyone they value enough to have under contract, right, to do that. I don't see why they would. They like their players, what they hear about all the time if you're following an NFL team. Well, they're here, they've been here all summer in the strength and conditioning program. I show up every day, and Bob is here lifting weights and looking at film, and I've gotten a lot stronger, and he's dedicated, whatever. What they might want is a league existing out there, and they can just pluck the one or two good players who might emerge. And if other players get hurt, well, they're not under NFL contracts, so be it. The mayhem is not on them, right? And so I can see why the NFL would like a developmental league to exist from which they could just cherry pick the best players who might someday help them. I can't at all see why the NFL would want to send players that they value to this league, because you're exactly right. It just puts more wear and tear on the body, the NFL is totally capable. If the NFL wanted this league, they were totally capable of doing it themselves. I mean, they're absolutely 100%. What did the NBA do? NBA wanted a developmental league, so they figured it out and did it themselves. They don't need to be held at gunpoint by a minor league saying, you've got to do this or we're going to drown. The NFL will just look at you and say, well, bye. You know?
It's incredible. Like, the people running, I read that quote, and first off, when you start publicly acknowledging we might not have a league going forward, that means like the end is here. So, like I pointed out earlier, if you really enjoy watching Johnny Manziel stand on the sideline at the Liberty Bowl, you better go knock it out the rest of this season, because probably it doesn't appear
Maybe my Friday. You may not get the chance to see him on the sideline once again. I remember I'm gonna hold that memory of Johnny Manziel standing on the sideline in my close to my heart for forever.
We'll always have that night.
Johnny running out to congratulate Brandon Silvers, you know?
We'll always have that Sunday night. Talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I want to switch gears because the American Athletic Conference earlier today publicly, formally announced the details of its new media rights deal with ESPN. What did we learn?
I don't really think we learned much, honestly. I was on the conference call, and then I spoke to Mike Oresko individually. I don't think we learned much because we already had learned it, right? I mean, we already knew the financial terms. We already knew a substantial number of these games were going to be on ESPN Plus. What they told us was that basically the number of football games and the number of basketball games on what they called their priority networks is going to go up. And that is true. Let me just see if I have the numbers here. It was from 20 to 40, I think, in terms of football games on ESPN networks, from 26 to 40. And then basketball games on the priority ESPN networks, meaning the ones that are actually on your television if you don't have some sort of a service, streaming service, from 20, they're going to go from 32 to 65. So there will be more basketball games and more football games, and presumably some of the Memphis football games and basketball games will be that. And so that's reassuring to folks who don't just want to do ESPN Plus. The difference is, though, is that like now a bunch of them were on, heck, but they were on CBS Sports Network, right?
I mean, like, my understanding is that we will not have Memphis games anymore.
Right, and so if you look at the Memphis schedule last year, I haven't yet, but how many were actually on the ESPN family of networks, as opposed to a lot were on CBS Sports, with you all, and those are gone. And so, I asked, basically, is there any way to predict for a Memphis fan what percentage of basketball or football games they would be able to see without having ESPN Plus? And the answer is there is no way to predict, because they'll make the decisions based on that season, et cetera. They did say, it's funny, because there's been one school of thought that they might take some of the really high-profile ones and put them on ESPN Plus to get them to get people to subscribe. What they said was they were going to put the high-profile, the high-profile ones, they're going to put on the priority networks, the TV networks. But essentially, if you were looking for reassurance that you are going to be able to watch the majority of Memphis football and basketball games on ESPN without getting ESPN Plus, if you were looking for that from the conference call, you did not get that reassurance, because they simply aren't predicting, and there's no way to know. I think the truth is that if you are a Memphis fan in 2 years and really dedicated to watching Memphis basketball and football, you're going to have to get ESPN Plus. And in fairness to them, they were in a situation 6 years ago where they were supposed to be one of the Power Six conferences. There did used to be, we talk about Power Six jokingly now, there used to be Power Six conferences. And we had the big, huge press conference here. Memphis has finally made it over. Remember that? Like, Memphis was joining the Big East, and everything was going to be great. They were going to have access to the bowl games and the championship. And then within like a month, it fell apart. And they have been picking things up since then. And I actually think for the conference, I mean, I'm a guy who left a traditional newspaper and now works for a digital-only newspaper service. And some people are grumpy about that because they can't read whatever in their driveway. And I'm grumpy about that. I like a traditional newspaper. But the world changes. And I think by the end of this deal, certainly in 12 years, the idea that it was some kind of a burden to have ESPN Plus will seem silly. It'll just be what everybody does.
Well, it might
the equivalent.
It might actually seem silly by the time we get there, because what I read is that the ESPN Plus aspect of this deal doesn't actually kick in until 2022-2023. So that means you don't, unless I read it wrong, you don't have to deal with ESPN Plus next season. That's the 2019-20 season. After that, it's 2020-21. After that, it's 2000, 21-22. So you've got three more years before you even have to think about streaming a Memphis game on ESPN Plus. And think about how much the world has changed in the previous 3 years in terms of technology.
Right.
It might be a completely normal thing by 2022-23, even for an older generation to just, like, we might get, by then, we might be at a point where everybody who owns a TV has an Apple TV or a Roku or an Amazon Fire connected to it, and you really do pick it up and just push. You just, instead of picking up your DirecTV remote, you pick up your Apple remote. That's the way it is in my house right now. If I want to stream something, like I pick up my Apple remote instead of my DirecTV remote, and it's boom, it's right there on the same TV I would be watching. If I'm watching a ESPN Plus game right now, it is on the same TV as I would be watching an ESPN game if I want it to be,
just by
picking up a different remote. And I realize that's it. I'm in the minority. Not everybody lives that way. But by 2022, maybe almost everybody who, you know, has the means to even enjoy this type of stuff will be living that way, and it won't be nearly as problematic as I think some people thought initially.
Or those of us who would have a hard time making the transition will be dead.
Right. That's what I mean. Like that's the other thing.
It is funny. Like, I really am I am not an embracer, right? Like, I don't know how to watch Netflix. Like, I'm an idiot. I'm a total idiot. And so therefore I'm sympathetic to the idiots, because I know there's a lot of, particularly if you look at the Memphis fan base, right? Like, who is there? Like, there's a lot of longtime Memphis fans. And so I am sympathetic to the fact that they're going to struggle with this. But it's just like once upon a time, it was appalling and ridiculous, and people thought it was criminal that games were going to be on cable instead of network TV. Or they couldn't watch Memphis basketball on what channel was it? The replays with Jack Eaton on the channel. What channel was that?
Was it WKNO, wasn't it?
Yeah, on WKNO, right? People long for the days, well, we don't get the replays on WKNO anymore. Like, the world moves on. And in some ways, that's great. And in some ways, it all kinds of things. In some ways, it's great. And in some ways, you can't go to a bookstore anymore. That's kind of bad. Well, you can, because you can go to Novel and should, right? And you go to Burks and should. But basically, there aren't bookstores all over everywhere anymore. You can't do that. But what you can do, really, seriously, go to Novel or Burks. Do that instead. But what you can do is you can get things delivered to your door. And that disrupts a lot of businesses. And it's just, I mean, I hate to, like, the world has, The internet revolution has just changed everything, and no matter what you're looking at, it's how we get taxis now, as a, you know, how is everything, and so it's changed this too, and I think it's kind of a coup for the university to have this kind of a deal. As Oresco told me, he said nobody thought we were going to get this amount of money. He didn't say how much money they got, because they didn't disclose the financial details, but they're out there. And he said, nobody thought we were going to get this kind of money. And I think that's true. Nobody did think they were going to get this kind of money. And so, and you can argue that people have been accused, the University of Memphis and the conference, of being archaic in their thinking, and had they really, for a long time. Well, here now, maybe they're being cutting edge in their thinking. They basically have, this is what they say, and maybe it's spin or maybe it's true, their own kind of branded network. And I do think it's pretty clearly the wave of the future.
Talking to Jeff Calkins here at 92.9 FM ESPN. By the way, I should correct the record. It says at least 1,000 American events will be featured on ESPN Plus beginning in the 2022-23 year. But in the first 2 years, there will be a lower number of ESPN Plus games.
Well, and what that means is basically, okay, well, what that's referring to is, so, like, Memphis volleyball will be on ESPN Plus now, right? Or Memphis softball, or Memphis soccer, or Memphis, right? Those things are going to be on ESPN Plus now. And what that means is that Memphis has to develop the capacity and the capability. Like, right now, a lot of schools do, like, live streaming. Tulane has live streaming of all of their baseball games on their website. And so they produce them themselves, et cetera. What ESPN is going to do is they're going to count on the universities to help produce these events that will be on ESPN Plus. And those, that can't happen. That technology that has to be developed can't happen overnight. And that's why there will be 1,000 in whatever year it was, 22, 23, and a smaller number now. It's because They literally don't have the technological capacity. Memphis doesn't know how to do that yet, and that has to be developed.
So let the record show that if you're a Memphis fan and you want to make sure you don't miss anything, you might actually have to have ESPN Plus as early as the 2020-21 year, and then it kicks into high gear in 2022-23, right. Talking to Jeff Calkins. You know, I was in studio last week, and we were talking. I was talking to some of my bosses about this, and you know, one of the ways, you know, ESPN has forever just outspent people when it came to the rights of live sporting events. And one of the ways that other people could get properties is ESPN just didn't have a place to put it. You know, like ESPN is booked. ESPN2 is filled up. ESPNU is filled up. There's nowhere else to put these things. So the American Athletic Conference can go do a CBS Sports Network deal, or the Big East can go do a FS1 deal. But with, you know, when you start creating something like ESPN Plus, you have an unlimited amount of space to put properties if people are willing to be in that space. You don't need to have a dedicated channel for them. You can be streaming 7,000 games at the same time on ESPN Plus, and it really is going to make it more difficult for everybody except ESPN to get the rights to these sporting events. You know, it's obviously not great for CBS Sports Network to have. It's great for the University of Memphis to sign this deal, so I'm happy that they did it. But like, I'm not going. We spend every week we have American Athletic Conference basketball games on,
right?
And starting in 2 years, we won't have them anymore. Now they'll replace it with something else. Mm-hmm. I hope. I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming. But it's just the way the world's changing, and ESPN's going to probably be bigger and better because of it, because they've now got a place to put you if you're willing to be there.
I'm actually trying to look and see. Like, if you look at the Memphis football schedule in 2018, right, how many of those, and maybe I won't be able to tell, how many of those games were on an actual ESPN platform? And this was Memphis football at its zenith, right? So this is Memphis football being it doesn't say right here. I'm trying to look, but it wasn't half. It wasn't a third of them, right? It was not.
I don't remember being on a third of them. No, it was low.
I mean I was just going through them. It was Memphis Mercer. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be on, right? If you want to watch Memphis Mercer, you would have to watch that on ESPN Plus. Memphis at Navy, that one might get picked up, right? That one you can imagine. Memphis Georgia State, which that one went away, I think. But that one wouldn't be on. Memphis South Alabama, that one wouldn't be on. You'd have to see ESPN Plus. Memphis at Tulane, that one probably wouldn't be on. Memphis at UConn, that one probably wouldn't be on. Memphis UCF probably would be on. Memphis at Missouri was an SEC game, so they had that one, right? Memphis at ECU, probably not. Memphis Tulsa, Memphis, then it was Tulsa, SMU, Houston, whatever. I mean, you might, right. Maybe four games will be on. You're going to have ESPN Plus.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. Starting in the 2020-21 season, if you are a Memphis fan who doesn't like to miss Memphis things, you're probably going to have ESPN Plus.
You're going to have to figure out the internet.
Yeah, you're going to have to figure out the internet.
Well, Jeffrey has made a perfect point, and I think this is right. I think this is the way to look at it. What you have to do is you have to call one of your grandchildren. If you're a Memphis fan, you probably have grandchildren. So call one of your grandchildren and have them over and tell them you need to watch this ESPN Plus thing. And not only will you be able to watch the Tigers, but it'll bring the generations together all throughout our community, and that'll be a good thing.
It is funny because this will be a complete non-issue someday because we're raising children now who are growing up with these things. But for an older generation, it can be a thing. I don't know that this is true, but I'm about 99% sure this is true. If I took my 5-year-old Oliver and my father and put them in the same room and I said, hey, I want you guys right now to go to Netflix and stream the new Spider-Man movie, whichever one can do it first gets a prize, Oliver would have that thing knocked out in 3 seconds. And my dad would be like, Netflix, what? Like, he wouldn't, he just wouldn't know. Yeah. Like, he just wouldn't be able to get. But, like, my 5-year-old could do it. Louis's 2.
Yeah.
And he can grab the Apple remote and get to the, you know, like, this morning, Louis was watching Scooby-Doo on Apple TV. He knows how to do that. What's funny is the Apple remote, you can talk into it.
Yeah.
So you can push it and then say, play Sesame Street, mm-hmm. and it'll just take you straight to Sesame Street. I mean, it really is that easy. You probably, this is encouraging, you probably, even if you're 75 years old, can just grab an Apple remote and go, play the Tigers game, and it'll just play the Tigers game for you at some point, right?
So, your grandkid is going to have to set that up for you, right?
But once they
set it up for you. By the way, I do have it here. Last year they had 1, 2, 3 regular. They actually only had 2 ESPN games last year. They had 2 ESPN platform games. They had an ESPN 3. So let's just say that goes from 2 to 3 because they've bumped it up, or even from 2 to 4. You've now, instead of having 12 games to watch, you can watch 4 games on the regular part. You got to get ESPN Plus.
You're going to have to get ESPN Plus.
You got to get Oliver to come to your house.
The good thing is you can talk into your Apple remote.
You're right.
You can talk into your Apple remote. So what's funny is Louie knows you can talk into your Apple remote.
Yeah.
So he'll pick up the Apple remote, push it, and he'll be like, Elmo. You know, he wants to
watch
Elmo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he thinks you can just talk into every remote now.
So
you'll walk in the living room, and Louie would be standing there with a DirecTV remote in his face.
Talking into it, and you can't do that. I will tell you, Comcast, you can talk into the remote, and it's even linked up with the ESPN products. For example, like if you want to watch a random UNLV game or a Memphis game that's on ESPN3 right now, or it's on one of their services, it will pick that up through that package and throw it onto your TV, and you can click yes on that to put it on your TV.
Yeah, you just got to get your grandkids to help you figure this out.
It's not hard.
It's not that difficult. Just be brave.
Yeah, bold.
Keep an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
Listen a little bit. Write your password down.
Yeah, that's important.
And
this is not stuff that comes easy to people my age. All those things we don't do very well. But, okay, we'll work on it. Anyway.
Talking to Jeff Coggins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, the reigning world champs are in town, Golden State Warriors. Is this the last time Grizzlies fans will ever, in person, inside FedEx Forum, watch Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green play together?
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. I never liked it. I didn't like it at the outset, and I don't like it now. And I think it is. Yes, I think it is the last time they'll see them all play together. And I think, honestly, even you who like you like super teams, and you like if let's just say next year. Kawhi although there's more and more talk that Kawhi's going to stay in Toronto, but let's just hypothesize that Kawhi and KD go to the Clippers, right? Or you've got Kyrie and KD going to the Knicks. Like, wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't that be fun?
I think the most interesting thing you could have next season. It might be LeBron and Kevin together in LA, but that ain't going to happen. The next most interesting thing you could have is the Knicks win the lottery, draft Zion, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving go to New York, and it's Kevin, Kyrie, Zion Williamson.
Mm. See, that would make me throw up. the Zion part is an abundance. That's too much. Like, give them KD and Kyrie. Have Zion come to Memphis and put him with Jaren Jackson Jr., and away we go.
Then
you got KD and Kyrie and then they can meet in the finals.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies against the Knicks in the finals.
I don't think Golden State's interesting anymore. I mean they're interesting now only in if they're coming apart, right? If Draymond pitches a fit, or if there's cracks like in the armor. Like that's what
it's like the Patriots.
Are they now vulnerable? They haven't reached the Patriots level of boredom. But yeah, they're not. Next year will be more interesting if they are broken up than if they are together. Even if you were someone who once thought that it was interesting when KD joined them.
I agree with that. That's Jeff Coggins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He'll be back in studio tomorrow 9 a.m. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye.
When we come back, Christian Fowler covers the University of Memphis for Go Tigers 24-7. He's been down in Atlanta in advance of the McDonald's All-American game. That game is tonight. He's been watching the best prospects in the country, talking to the best prospects in the country. What did he learn? We'll ask him next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So the McDonald's All-American Game is happening tonight in Atlanta. James Wiseman, of course, from East High School, committed to the University of Memphis, will be on that big stage that it provides. So will Trendon Watford. So will Precious Achiuwa. So will Matthew Hurt. Those three players also being recruited by the University of Memphis. And Christian Fowler, a University of Memphis student who covers the Tigers football and men's basketball program for GoTigers247.com, has been in Atlanta the past few days watching these prospects, talking to these prospects, and he's nice enough to join me now. Christian, it's Gary. What's up, man?
What's up, GP? How you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. And first things first, you know the years are getting up there when you reach a point on your radio show where you are having the son of somebody you went to high school with as a guest on the radio show. So that's a cool thing for me. I appreciate you being here. And let me just say, really proud of what you've been able to carve out for yourself already. I guess I've never told this story. You and I got a cup of coffee together back when you were still in high school, before you were ever going to enroll at the University of Memphis and start down this path. And I'll be honest, I don't remember the exact advice I gave you, but whatever you did, whether it was listening to me or somebody else, you've really carved out a niche for yourself already. It's been impressive to watch, and I'm happy for you.
Well, I really appreciate that. You know, I tell you all the time, I thank you all the time for starting me on this path and helping me. So I'm glad it's come full circle.
It is literally the least I could do, because I remember vaguely being your age and knowing, or at least believing, that I wanted to get into this business, to be a journalist, and yet not really having any obvious resources to lean on. Like, you know, my parents didn't go to Syracuse, and, you know, my dad's not a broadcaster. My mom's not a newspaper reporter. I didn't know who to listen to, didn't know who time I could even ask for. And I really was going into it incredibly naive. But anytime somebody took the time to offer a little guidance or just encouragement to make you not be scared that you're gonna not know what you're doing, I always appreciated that. And I tried to promise myself if I could ever return the favor, I would. So I was happy to return the favor. And like I said, you've already carved out a niche as a real resource on University of Memphis sports. And that's not an easy thing to do at your age. So congratulations. Like I said, it's been impressive to watch. Let's talk about what's been going on down in Atlanta. You saw James Wiseman. Let's start there. Best I can tell, the reviews were really good, that he looked the part of a number one player in the country, future lottery pick. Is that what you saw as well?
Absolutely. So we were there. We got to go to three or four practices, and James was practicing against his teammates, which were guys like Matthew Hurt, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, so some of the top players in the country, some of the top bigs in the country, and Oscar Sheepway as well, who's a West Virginia signee that's actually given James trouble in the past. So he's going against some of the best players in the country. Obviously, we know that's what's at the McDonald's All-American Game. But as far as I could see, all the practices I was at, James was the best player on the court, regardless of position, which is what Memphis fans want to hear from the hope next year, the five-star hope, the number one player that's coming in. And he's definitely as advertised. I've watched him a lot in high school. But getting to watch him on that stage against some of the best players in the country was impressive, because the very first day, it looked a little bit like culture shock to him. He looked a little uncomfortable at first. As soon as he got comfortable, he took over. He started proving that he was the best player on the floor. And actually, I tweeted this out last night as we were leaving Atlanta, that James Wiseman at 7'1" was doing some things with the ball and running the court that some of the guards there weren't able to do. So that was extremely impressive, watching him, his total game, not just his down low game, the way he handles the ball, the way he can shoot the outside shot. And I'll give you one quick thing that was one of the most impressive things to me, was he was out on the wing with Trey Mann, who's a five-star Florida signee, one of the best guards in the class. and he was out on the wing with him guarding him. And Trey Mann couldn't get around James Wiseman. And I think if nothing else, that speaks volumes, because Trey Mann's one of the best guards, one of the best players in the class. And at 6'3", 6'4", he couldn't get around 7'1", James Wiseman, just because of James's pure athleticism. So James, he's definitely had a great week, and I'm excited to see what he can do tonight.
And what you just described is exactly the difference between, you know, being an interesting big man prospect and being a guy that people are willing to take in the top five. When you talk to, and I'm not comparing the players, but you'll get the point, when you talk to people in advance of last year's draft about Jaren Jackson Jr., one of the real positives with him was he can switch onto guards. He won't get exposed in pick and roll situations. He can guard in space. And really, if you're not a big man who can't guard in space these days, it's hard for you to stay on an NBA court. So Wiseman, with his ability to run the court the way he runs the court, because I really do think he's one of the best big men in terms of running the court that we've seen in recent years, maybe in a long time. He's really just a great runner. And for him to be able to guard elite guards in space like that, that's the type of stuff that makes you a lot of money.
No, absolutely. Like I said, I've watched him plenty in high school at East, and he's done some of those things. But to see it at this level, it's completely different. When you're going against guys locally that nobody's ever really heard of, and they can still be good basketball players, but they're not five-star guys. And then you see it translate against some of the best players in the country on a stage like this, because the McDonald's All-American game, these events, I mean, for a high school player, it's one of the highest honors you can receive. So for him to go there and continue showing that he's the best player in the country is incredible. And to your point, like you said, he's one of the best big men as far as running the floor that we've seen in recent years. And it really is. It's incredible to watch somebody that big and that long do the things that he does, because you shouldn't be able to. It is unfair. It is unfair for James Wiseman to have the ability that he does. So, you know, I also put this out yesterday. Memphis fans need to enjoy him while they can, because you know, 1 year and he has the potential to be the number one overall pick in the 2020 draft.
Yeah, it'll be a brief stay at the University of Memphis, barring something unforeseen. I'm talking to Christian Fowler, lead writer, GoTigers247.com, covers Tiger football and Tiger basketball. He's on Twitter, @C_Fowler14, @C_Fowler14. Precious Achiuwa also there, Matthew Hurt also there, Trendon Wofford also there, and Precious talking openly about maybe creating a package situation and perhaps the destination being the University of Memphis. What's the latest on that recruitment?
As far, you're talking about a package deal as far as him and Lester? Or
correct.
Him and James?
No, him and Lester.
Yeah, so they played, for those that don't know, they play together at New Heights and AAU ball. So they have a good relationship. They both say that they're some of each other's best friends. So they have a great relationship. And the biggest thing to me is you hear guys, whether it's football recruiting, basketball recruiting, just recruiting in general, you hear guys say, oh, yeah, I play with him, so, I want to play with him in college. But there's never any, there's never any validity to it sometimes. Sometimes it's just an empty thing that they'll say because they're friends with him. Well, Precious went out to say, I would love to play with Lester, absolutely, but I want it to be beneficial for both of us. I don't want to go somewhere and, him be looked at lesser than me or vice versa. So the way Precious put it was very meticulous. The way that he looked at it was very smart, in my opinion. And I really believe when you're one of the top players, I mean, Precious Achiuwa was a top 15 player in the class. Lester Quinones is a top 70 player in the class. So it makes sense. Of course they want to go play with each other, but I think they both want the best situation. So it's going to take a team and a coaching staff that benefits both of them to get both of them there. They weren't saying just straight out, we're going to play each other wherever one goes, we're both going. So it was very smart and well thought out the way that Precious put it. But he's also been talking a lot with James Wiseman, which if anybody's paid attention to what James Wiseman is doing since he's been committed to Memphis, he recruits the heck out of everybody else that Penny Hardaway and his staff are recruiting. And it's fun to watch. It was definitely fun to watch in person with him there with guys like Matthew Hurt, Trendon Wofford, Precious Achiuwa. And he definitely does. He pushes for him. And I think Precious's quote when we were talking to him yesterday was, James obviously talks to me a lot about it. And, we talk about there could be something special if I came to Memphis with James. So there's definitely some positive signs there. But I will say, and I'm sure you know this as well, Precious's recruitment has been very quiet. They tend to keep things really close, so it's hard to get a good read for him, but definitely said a lot of positive things for Memphis yesterday at Media Day.
I was listening to Jason and John earlier today, and they were talking about all of this, and they reached the conclusion that you can't get Precious Achiuwa and Trendon Wofford, that they will not be at the same school. Is it Memphis just trying to get one of them to commit as quickly as possible, and then the other one goes the other direction?
Well, I think at this point you see Memphis has four players in their class with, you know, three or two forwards, a center, and a guard. So at this point they've got four. They're at that point, month and a half, month left, where they've got to sit back and pick and choose and try to find things that fit what they think they will have next season the best. And I don't think it's necessarily by whoever commits first basis. I think they do want to find the right piece that fits this team, because the goal is to win a national championship. I don't think that's a secret. I think Penny said it multiple times, and I think the biggest advocate for it has been James Wiseman, which should be extremely encouraging to these fans, because some of these one-and-done guys, they don't care about what they do at college as far as the team. They care about going and making their money and getting it over with. But James is dedicated to putting together a team that can win a national championship. So I think with James out there recruiting and the staff obviously out there recruiting, they want the players that best fit this system to win a national championship or to be one of the best teams in college basketball next season.
Now, you make a good point, because you know, I spend every summer talking to some of the best basketball prospects in the country, and it is noticeable how little they talk about college. It's all NBA. Very rarely does somebody say, I'm really looking forward to maybe playing in the Final Four, or I can't wait to be on Big Monday, or my God, the Champions Classic is going to be amazing. They talk about college as just something they have to do before they get to where they really want to be. And Wiseman taking that opposite approach has been noticeable. He seems to sincerely care how what presumably will be just 1 year on the University of Memphis campus. He seems to sincerely care how that year is going to go, and is working pretty hard to try to make it as good as it could possibly be.
Yeah, and like I said, it's encouraging, because, and we both said it now, that it doesn't happen. And I can't remember who put it out earlier this week. It might have been Adam Liguria, but he put out a quote from Trendon Wofford saying that James Wiseman was recruiting him harder than the Memphis staff was. And it's so telling. It's so telling if you have, you know, a 17, 18-year-old kid just going out here and killing every guy that Memphis is recruiting. He's going out here and pushing to them that they can win a national championship and making them think about playing with him, because that's the biggest thing about recruiting these guys. Everybody that Memphis is recruiting that I've spoken with has envisioned themselves playing with James Wiseman, which is huge, because that's what you get when you have the number one player. Everybody thinks about what their game could look like when they play with the best player in the country. And that's especially with Lester Quinones. When I spoke with him after his official visit 2 weekends ago, he said, you know, I can just imagine myself with James rolling off a ball screen and going down low, and then me having that decision to either dish it down to James, who's not going to be stopped, or me shoot a three. And if you know anything about Lester Quinones, you know that he's one of the best three-point shooters in the class. So when you have all these guys that think about it, they think about playing with James, and then he goes out and pushes them even more, it's a great system. And I think it's why you see this class sitting at where it is now, and with the targets they still have left on the board.
The other thing that it does is if you go to play with the number one player in the country, you're guaranteed to be seen by every NBA franchise that exists, because they're all going to come in, not just to games, but to practices, to evaluate and monitor James Wiseman. So if you care at all about making sure you're seen by the right people, you know, it's a little bit like playing on a prominent EYBL team. Like, if you're in the gym, the audience is going to be there for you. And playing with James Wiseman, the audience is going to be there for you, because he is a projected top five pick in the 2020 NBA draft. I'm wrapping up here with Christian Fowler, lead writer, GoTigers247.com, covers Tiger football and basketball, does a tremendous job. He's on Twitter at C_Fowler14. Last thing before I let you go, Matthew Hurt is now reportedly said that, and you might have heard it with your own ears, that he's interested in maybe visiting the University of Memphis very, very soon. I've always thought that that recruitment was a long shot for a variety of reasons, but if you get him on campus, who knows? Where do things stand with Matthew Hurt right now?
I mean, I think exactly what you said is what I've been telling people for a while now with Matthew. Duke and Kansas have seemed to have a lot of momentum with Matthew over the past few months. Memphis hasn't been mentioned as much, because I know when Mike Miller first got the job, due to his and Matthews relationship, Memphis was, you know, heavily, not necessarily heavily involved, but they were listed. Every time you said Matthew Hurt, you said Memphis because of that Mike Miller connection. And it's kind of trailed off here at the end. But in speaking with Matthew at the McDonald's All-American Media Day yesterday, that's what he told us, that we broke – Go Tigers 247 actually broke the story reporting that he is planning to visit this weekend. And what he said basically was, I've been working with the coaching staff to come on a visit either this weekend or next weekend, because there's, you know, there's obviously not much time left. They still have – he still has a USA basketball game and everything. So he's working on a visit. He said it's not official yet, but it he said he looks like he will be able to come this weekend. So we'll, you know, we'll obviously keep everybody updated on that, because that'll be rolling in within the next few days, hopefully, obviously with that coming after the game. But like you said, the biggest thing is, if you get these guys on campus, anything can change. Those official visits are huge, especially at this time of the year. If you get the, if you get Matthew on campus, you can completely change his mind and change his recruitment around. And that's how, you know, that's how recruiting works. And I know you know just as well, recruiting is the most fluid thing in sports. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes if and when Matthew does take that visit.
That is Christian Fowler, lead writer, GoTigers247.com, covering Tiger football and Tiger basketball. He's on Twitter at C_Fowler14, at C_Fowler14. That's where you can get your all your updates on University of Memphis basketball recruiting. You guys do a great job over there. You're doing a tremendous job over there. Really happy for you, proud of you, and we'll do this again real soon.
Appreciate it, GP.
I'll see you. Christian Fowler, University of Memphis student, lead writer, GoTigers247.com. We'll be back with dinner.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
So Dan had a home out in Bartlett, wanted to sell it, so he did what I've been telling you to do for years. He got in touch with Josh Hysall. Josh went to work, got 12 showings in just 48 hours. That home sold at its full asking price. How did Josh do it? He did it with his 45-day guarantee. It is a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. Josh is an experienced and effective agent who can expose your home to the most buyers with the best marketing strategy, and then he'll negotiate for the most money possible. The first step has Josh helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive. You guys agree on a price, Josh goes to work. And then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick, totally up to you, and it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him. No questions asked, even if your opinion doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He's got flexible fees, no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the only real estate agent I'd call if I needed to sell my home, Josh Hysall. 461-8147 on the web. JoshSellsTheMidSouth.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yeah. Off top. Get guap. The hood got heavy metal.
Cooper Systems is over in the Mount Moriah Office Park. On the web, CooperSystems.com. You already know that's the place to go if you need a computer. High-end, low-end, middle-of-the-road gaming computer. Custom-built computer, even a MacBook Air for as low as $599. But also, if you need computer repair, like virus removal, get in touch with Cooper Systems. They can help you. Usually the same day you take them the machine. Been Googling things you didn't need to be Googling. Now you got viruses. Oh, I'll just fix it myself. You don't know how to fix your computer. If you know how to fix your computer would be fixed. You don't know what you're doing. But at Cooper Systems, they do. So take it to them. They won't judge you. They know what you've been looking at. Ain't no different than anybody else's computer. They'll clean it all up. They'll tell you how to avoid this problem going forward. And you'll shake your head like, okay, thank you, Mr. Lee. And then you go back home and Google the same stuff, because we all got our things. But guess what? Cooper Systems, they ain't going nowhere. You can take it back to them if you ever need them again. Virus removal, data recovery, power supply issue, USB port issue, a cracked screen. They can fix all of those things over in the Mount Moriah Office Park. It's Cooper Systems, 360-9679, 360-9679. On the web, coopersystems.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff. I think the most important thing is that Alliance American Football is just ridiculous. Tom Dundon, majority owner, tells USA Today earlier today that unless they get cooperation from the NFL Players Association, they're maybe going to have to discontinue the league. What?
Yep.
Maybe something you should have figured out before you started the league? Like, hey, if we don't have cooperation from the NFLPA, this is not going to be sustainable. Do we have cooperation? No. Then maybe let's not launch the league. What in the world? Go read about it, USAtoday.com.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Warriors-Grizzlies, FedEx Forum, downtown Memphis. Golden State 50-23. Grizz are 30-44. Warriors are 11.5-point favorites tonight. Totals 217. Tip schedule for a little after 7 o'clock. Eric Hasseltine on the call. You can listen right here, 92.9 FM ESPN.
What should I watch on TV?
So LeBron James got a new show tonight, Million Dollar Mile. Debuts on CBS. It's America's most watched network, network of stars. A little like American Ninja Warrior,
oh, yeah, okay.
I gather. So here's the deal.
Right.
1 mile obstacle course.
Yep.
This person, contestant, gets a 2-minute start.
Okay.
And then after those 2 minutes, a world-class athlete starts chasing the contestant to try to prevent them from completing the course and winning $1 million. Tim Tebow is the host. Maria Taylor is also involved. It's tonight, 7 o'clock on CBS.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
ESPN published its opening day power rankings today because Major League Baseball opening day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Cardinals' projected record is?
Is it 90 wins?
Not according to this.
No! 85?
ESPN projects the Cardinals to finish 85-57.
Well, ESPN doesn't know what they're talking about.
And predicts America's team, the New York Mets, to finish 87-75, 2 games better than the St. Louis Cardinals, champions of the National League East. And then champions of the National League. And then World Series champion, because DeGrom is locked up long-term.
The Mets.
Can't wait for tomorrow.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
It'll be Thursday. I'm going to be laying in bed watching baseball. I'll be in New York in studio for CBS Sports Network. So Matt Stark's going to be hosting the radio show tomorrow, but I'm going to join him in the first hour. He'll have John Martin as well. He'll have Jeff Calkins as well. So it should be fun. Enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. Be back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful. Be kind. Be good. Rep your hood.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.